Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door, just like a Murillo Crossfield ball. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win? Only via the app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Danilo's free.
Time we've seen them attack them, and there's Brandon! Well, that's what I wanted to see Robinson do!
Taylor Wadi scores! And the City ground goes ballistic!
Here's Bob Williams. He's through here! And in the end, Forrest will say it doesn't matter how you play, as long as you win it!
Hello and welcome back to Red Side of Trent as Forest prepare to head to Kenilworth Road to face Luton Town in what seems like a must-win game for the Reds. Joining me is fellow Reds fans Alex Oates. Are you right, Alex?
I'm good, Wicklow. Are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Are you glad to be a friend of the pod?
It's a lovely upgrade.
How did you feel about last weekend, first of all? Obviously lost to Brighton in a damp squid of a game, to be honest, but... What do you make of it?
I've written three things down in my notes, and I've got crap, abject, and long way to go for nothing.
Yeah.
The first half was awful. Again, it's not become a theme, but we've seen it so many times this season where we just don't come out of the blocks in the first 45. Not so much under Nuno, but it's something that we've done regularly this season, and it is really annoying. Second half, better. But yeah, my overall view of the game, they didn't have to try to beat us. It's sort of, we sort of gave it to them on a stick and said, come at us. And yeah.
My overall thought was, I thought we actually started quite bright and we pressed them quite well. We'd win the ball back and then just give it away straight away, which is...
Yeah. First five... For 5-10 minutes, it was all right. And then again, it's the common Forest theme. We sort of just tail off. They grow into the game. They have a little bit of momentum and they end up scoring a goal from what is a cheap situation. Mm. But yeah, Andy's unfortunate to pick the own goal. But I think personally, Sells should be commanding that area of his goal. His front post either needs to come and catch it or he needs to belt it with both gloves.
Yeah, but I'm in agreement, mate. I think like keeper should be coming and wiping everything out in front of him and taking that really like it's an easy one. And Andy O could equally head it away. It's been a theme of the season, really. Do you feel like I think there's a common theme now on social media, especially like there's a that players aren't committing enough. Do you think that at all? Because I don't really think that. I just think Nuno got it horribly wrong with team selection on Saturday, personally.
Yeah, I don't buy into that. I think everyone that was out there gave 100%. It's just the final bit of quality needed. We couldn't put the ball in the back of the net. Again, I don't want to slate anyone, but again, Danilo was poor first half. Passes astray everywhere. Much better in the second 45. Yates did what Yates does. He broke up play, tried his best. Again, he's never going to be the 10 out of 10 on the pitch, but he was all right. But I think every player on the pitch will give 100%. I don't think we've got a group of lads that will sort of sit down and down tools almost.
Yeah, I mean, there's been loads of criticism again already for Sangare, who's literally just come back for like 25 minutes. What was your thoughts on him when he made when he made that appearance, because I feel like he's getting the same stick that, like, I don't know, Tavares was getting, or I mean, Yates has definitely had it in his career a lot of the time at Forest. Alanga's kind of gets it here and there, but, like, don't seem to give this bloke, who I know he's cost us a lot of money, but he's not really had a run of games either. But he seems to get the most stick because of his price tag, which is not his fault.
Yeah, no, it's not. We paid what PSV wanted us to pay to get a player that ultimately the club wanted, and the club felt that it was going to progress us into a next level within that midfield. I do think heavy criticism is unwarranted for him. He's not had a solid string of games. He's come back from AFCON injured. Again, that's not his fault. But he came on against Brighton, and there were bits that you saw from him that sort of said, there's a player there. He just needs to do it 90 minutes week in, week out. There was a couple of balls he picked up in midfield, halfway inside our own half, and he pinged one over to Williams, which he miscontrolled, unfortunately, and one over to Alanga, which he got hold of, and then a stupid ad about went through his spine. But, there were a couple of balls that you thought it's useful to have. It's what Yates doesn't possess. It's what Danilo possesses but wasn't doing. So you've brought on a player that ultimately now is doing it. Defensively, I think he's fine. He's in the way. He's a big lad. He's physical. He'll win headers. But technically, he's very good with his feet as well. But with the 35 million price tag, you are going to have critics if you don't hit the ground running. I don't think we've got time in games left now to not hit the ground running. He has to start performing, and he has to start performing this weekend.
Do you think he has to play now the last 10 games if he's available, basically? Because I do.
I think so. We'll get onto it later, but I'd love to see Sangare and Dominguez partnership. I think that'd work really well. You've got great defensive work in there, but you've also got decent ability on the ball, and I think it'll work well.
Yeah. I mean, we've got a real battle on our hands at the bottom of the table, which is going to be more interesting by the time we come to play Luton, because obviously as we do this one, they play tonight in their catch-up game with Bournemouth, where Tom Lockyer went down, unfortunately. And then we also find out what our point to see it. That's going to be a very interesting kind of scenario to come to. And there's 18 games left between the bottom eight teams in the Premier League. So that's between Brentford, Bournemouth, ourselves, Everton, Luton, Palace, Burnley, and Sheffield United. And I think I probably missed one. But and we've got 8 out of 10 games left against the bottom half teams. That's including Chelsea in that. So where can you kind of see it going? I think this is like now a really good period where you can kind of judge the team and Nuno on what they can do now for this last, quarter of a season, you'd say now?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Teams in and around us, and with the points that we've got on the board and they've got on the board, are clearly a similar quality team to us. But we need to be beating these teams. I know we've got Palace and Fulham at home, Chelsea at home. I've got one
Wolves
more. Wolves at home, that's the one. But they're bloody pushing for Europe now. But yeah, the away games against Luton, Burnley, Sheffield United, I think will tell an awful lot. Luton this weekend is massive, like you say, because we potentially find out tomorrow, Friday, about our PSR hearing. And going into that Luton game, I think if we know our fate already, of if we've got a deduction, if it's not, what it is, I think that will, one, settle the team, two, settle the fans. Because I found myself after games last sort of 4 or 5 weeks, looking at it going, if you take 6 points from that, that puts us in the bottom three. And then, or if you take 6 points, we're just outside. Okay, we might get away with it. I can't wait to hear the back of it, get it over and done with, and really concentrate on football, like I said last time I was on here.
Who do you think is like the person that we've kind of got to rely on to galvanise this squad almost? Like, do you think it's a number of players that have got to take responsibility in that aspect?
I think it's a number of players. Again, it's a mix of senior players, players that have been here a long time, players that have been around the block, been there, done it. So you're looking at your Origi, Felipe, Bolly, and then sort of players that genuinely look like they want to be here, young players, Gibbs White, Alanga, Yates, players like that. I think it's a collective whole. I don't think it's on individuals to sort of bring the team up. As a professional athlete playing for a football club the size of ours, I think you should already know what is expected of you. And I don't think you should need that extra G up to go into a big game knowing you can win it rather than sort of hoping you could come away with 3 points. So the answer to your question is, I think it's a collective. It needs to be brought up. I don't think it's on an individual per se. But it's the gaffer's job as well. I've really liked Nuno since he's come in. Last few weeks hasn't been the greatest of times, but overall, there's been an improvement. I think the club as a whole needs a lift. And no better way to do that with 3 points on Saturday.
Yeah. Do you feel a bit sorry for him in that aspect? Because he's been criticised loads for, I don't know, like really weird things in when I've seen stuff. Like some people have been saying about style of play and we're not scoring enough goals or anything like this. And I'm thinking we've only played Brentford and Bournemouth that are in the bottom 10. Like we've played everyone else that's like much higher than us and doing a lot better than us since he's coming, albeit the FA Cup games where we played lower league opposition. But that's the FA Cup and no one's going to give you an easy ride half the time.
Yeah. I think there's a certain part of the fan base that will never 100% warm to him because he's not Steve Cooper. And I think that's harsh. I've said from day one, I'll back whoever's manager, whoever's the player, until I feel that they don't deserve it anymore and they're not doing enough. Nuno's shown enough as a manager to get us playing the way we have done recently, before the last couple of weeks. Since he's come in, to not have as much crap thrown at him as he has done over the last couple of weeks, I do feel bad for him. He's come into a club that a cult hero has left. He's the biggest legend probably of since 2000, Steve Cooper, in terms of managerial status. He's had to precede that. He's then had the PSR hearing on his back, twinned with a lot of difficult games. And it's not normally a good mix. But yeah, I think he needs to be cut some slack at some point by some people.
Yeah, I mean, like, you've had refereeing decisions go complete, like from the first game that he was in charge, going back to that Bournemouth at home, the red card, the AFCON players then leaving, then we weren't sure if we had a striker for a bit because we didn't know if Awoniyi and Wood were injured at some point. It's like hands tied behind his back almost. And then the opposition we've played. So I think these last 10 games are going to be absolutely telling whether he's the right man for the job. And I personally think he can get us enough points to steer away. I don't know what your thoughts are, Alex. Obviously, this weekend is I'd call it a 6-pointer, really. I think if we can beat Luton, I think it hopefully will galvanise us a little bit in terms of, because they're a team that are going to fight tooth and nail for the 90 plus, you'd probably say 100 minutes at the moment in modern football, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Yeah. Again, I've written a couple of things down about Luton. They're not a great side, but they utilise what they have with 100% efficiency. They're a team that knows what they're good at. They don't try to deviate away from that. They've played a very similar style coming up and in the Premier League. That's worked for them. Not so much for Burnley. Again, didn't really work for us last season doing the same thing. But Rob Edwards has got a nice mix of quality, speed, flair, big men up front. They're scoring all types of goals with sort of Ross Barkley at the centre of that.
Yeah, I mean, that last five games they've got 1 point in the last five. Arguably should have been naught if you watch the highlights against Palace, where they were so wasteful, and we know all about being wasteful in recent times. At home, they're the 18th best side in the league with only 11 points, scored 21, let in 25. Obviously, our away record isn't like that great, but we've beaten Newcastle and Chelsea away this season. We've been a lot more competitive away this season, in my honest opinion. I just feel like there's a lot more hope for us, even though we're still not that great away from home. It does feel like there's something that we can, where we go and nick somewhere. Matt came on last week, City Ground Show, for everyone who knows him on Twitter. He said something quite interesting, and I agreed with it, and I had the same similar kind of opinion, that when Luton played Sheffield United at home, it was like a home banker, really, and they bottled it against the worst side in the league. What do you make of that in terms of an opinion, and do you think that will play into Luton's mindset, or do you think they'll actually turn up?
I listened to the pod last week and I agreed with that. Sheffield United have scored 12 goals away from home this season, three of them come at Kenilworth Road. That's 25% of their entirety of away goals this year away at Luton. Again, they've won one game away this season away at Luton. They're by far the worst team in the league. It's hard to say, because in this league, anyone can beat anyone on the day. But I do think that may play into Luton's mindset of it's almost like we've been here before. And if that plays on the mind of the Luton players, I think we really need to capitalise on that.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on McDonald's app at participating restaurants. 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just kind of like thinking it back to last season when we played like Bournemouth and Fulham, and the atmosphere was a bit flat because you're like, oh, well, we played these last season and it's a bit like, oh, we're not that bothered about you. And obviously then when we played like your Man United and City, Liverpool, and obviously the City Ground was just completely like buzzing, and like it was like a cup tie basically. I'm kind of thinking that it might be the similar sort of situation for Luton, although they know it's a game where if they win, and they obviously do well tonight as well, and then the points deduction happens, then they could be above us by the end of the weekend. So there's a lot to play for in this game. There's so much more going into it rather than just like a normal game of football, really, in some aspects. But what? How do you see us approaching the game, essentially? Well, mind you, I'll get your team up, because your team's pretty much the same as what I've got. So for everyone listening at home, it's Matt Sells in goal, Nico Williams at right back, Harry Toffler at left back, Murillo and Bolly at centre-half, Dominguez and Sangare in centre midfield, Alanga, Gibbs-White, Hudson-Odoi behind Taiwo Awoniyi. I kind of got a feeling I know why you've picked that sort of team, Alex. But just Willy Bolly coming back in for aerial presence, I'm assuming.
Yeah, spot on. Luton are a massive threat from set pieces, free kicks just on the edge of the area, you know, towards the byline. You will have players whip them in, whether it be Doughty, Barkley. It doesn't matter which side, it's dangerous. They've got men in the box that can and will punish us. We have seen, albeit Adebayo's out injured. That's a massive weight off our shoulders, I think, considering what he did at City Ground. But we're not going to repeat that. I think nullifying Ross Barkley will win us 50% of the game.
I agree with that.
Everything they do comes from him. Everything technical they do comes from him. I believe he's the most player with the final third passes in their squad. And again, he's very good. He's found a new lease of life at Luton. And if we weren't in this sort of dogfight with them, I'd kind of be enjoying it because I quite liked Barkley sort of growing up, watching him at Everton. But yeah, I think I'm torn. I don't know how we're going to play because I don't think that they're going to come gung-ho at us. I don't think it's going to be one where we're going to soak up loads of pressure, try and hit them on the counter. So I think we may see a very even split of the ball. And I think it's going to be the wide players that are going to provide the quality, whether for us it's Elanga, Hudson-Odoi, Toffolo, Williams, whether them it's Ogbeni, Doughty, putting balls in the box, putting, you know, in and around the area. I don't think it's going to be a good game. I'll be completely...
It's not a daft opinion, to be fair, because we're both near the bottom for a good reason. I mean, my thought is we can't afford to give away cheap free kicks inside our own half. Alfie Doughty is obviously a player that's kind of known to Forest because of his family and association with Forest in that sense. But he's got terrific delivery on him. Great one of a left foot. He is someone that I've even mentioned about if we managed to stay up and Luton went back down, would we consider him? And people kind of snuffed at him, but we haven't got anyone that can deliver across like he can, and he's got a great left foot. So he's someone that we've kind of got to like nullify as well. He crosses a lot from deep, and obviously with someone like Colton Morris, who's been much more of a handful than I ever thought he would be in this division, they've always got a chance and kind of got to work for them second balls as well that get knocked down and everything else. I'm in agreement as well with you, Alex, in terms of got to win that wide area. Gibbs White's got to be more involved, I think, and pick the ball up in the pocket a lot more, because in the reverse game he played wide, didn't he, and he didn't really get into it too much, and Elanga was like the one who was having to do a lot of the creating, and he was excellent in that game, and he's going to be key. But I do hope Nuno plays that team thereabouts, because Bolly's going to be he's going to be key. He was great in the game, in the home game, and then he got brought off, and we all know what happened after that.
That triple sub still mystifies me to this day. I don't understand what went through Cooper's head when he thought taking, you know, half of a centre back partnership off that's keeping Luton at bay. You know, we weren't looking like we were going to concede from a set piece. We were looking fine. They weren't really creating much in open play. He brought him off, and it happened. I completely agree about Gibbs White as well. If he can pick up the spaces behind Barkley but in front of the defenders, we've got scope there, because if we have a runner on either side in Elanga or Hudson-Odoi, because they play a back three with, I believe they play, is it 3-4-3?
Yeah, normally.
Yeah, because Doughty's known for bombing on rather than his defensive work. Again, same with Ogbeni. He was a winger at Rotherham that's sort of been pushed slightly back into that right mid spot. But isn't like unbelievable defensively. I think our wingers could have some joy against those two, but I do think it is going to be a game of wings and Gibbs White trying to find those players to eventually put the ball in the box for either a 1-0 or Wood. I wouldn't be fussed about either starting, to be honest. I wouldn't gruntle it if it was either.
Yeah, I mean, their last game, they played Kabore and Doughty at fullback, and then they played Chong and Ogbeni behind Morris. So, I mean, Kabore, I think, is equally just as guilty as trying to get forward more so than be defensive. So that would be an interesting one. And Luton, they're statistically the worst team in the league for giving chances up. And we create quite a lot of chances, which sometimes we can't finish. And that's been the story of our season as well this year. I mean, I do think there's a bit of a question mark whether a 1 year Wood will start. I thought Wood was actually okay on Sunday, should I say. I thought he was all right without too much service. He did well for the one chance he really got. It'll be an interesting one because a 1 year is obviously more awkward, more of a battering round, whereas Wood is a bit more technical than him. So I'll be interested to see how we go. I won't mind either. It's a great headache to have, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, Wood's coming to his own this season, hasn't he? All you have to do is look at the game at St. James's to know he's not past it. He's still got it in the locker very, very firmly. I couldn't tell you who I'd want to start. I'm really impartial to either of them. But yeah, like you say, Wood did well with the one chance he was given on Saturday that forced Verbruggen into, what was it, like one of two saves he had to make. And I think it was unfortunate not to be found when Origi went one-on-one as such. There was a covering defender, but Wood was pulling off in a very similar situation that happened at St. James's Park when we missed, when Langer shot instead of putting the ball before we scored the first goal, so his position is brilliant. He's there. I think we just need to do a better job of finding him.
Yeah, no, I'd agree. And then obviously midfield, you mentioned we've gone with Sangare and Dominguez, and you'd like to see them two together. There's obviously going to be the argument for Yates to play maybe instead of Dominguez because of height. But why would you rather go with Dominguez and Sangare? Even though I already know the answer, but it's for entertainment, Alex.
I think Yates being called for is warranted. I don't think you could play Yates and Sangare aside each other. I think they're very, very similar. They've both got a very similar pass accuracy. Sangare is 83%, Yates is 77%. Again, similar tackle success, both hovering around 50%. I think Dominguez gives you that extra bite. I think he's a player that's very, very comfortable on the ball that will sort of take it. He's not quite as comfortable as Mangala was, but he'll take the ball and he doesn't mind having it for a couple of seconds to assess his options. He's very sort of press proven. It's just when he then is pressed, we've seen a couple of times this season, Dominguez can give the ball away.
Yeah.
But I think that's our best two centre mid pairing, personally. Again, you could argue Yates in there, Danilo in there. It's really going to vary on who you talk to. But I like sort of those two for the different qualities they bring. Sangare is good in the air. Dominguez is better on the floor.
Yeah. I mean, because obviously you look at Barkley and Jordan Clark, who played there in the last game, and we know what we're going to get from Barkley. He's quite an all-round player. He likes to get stuck in, and I assume Jordan Clark, although I've not really watched a lot of him, he seems to be quite a ratty kind of player, similar to Dominguez in that sense. So it makes sense. I think it's going to be an interesting game. Like you say, I'll be shocked if there's a lot of quality, though I have predicted we'll win 4-1. I've just got this weird feeling that it's all going to click for us somehow. We'll all think that everything's fine again because that's just the Forest fan base for you. what do you fear from Luton besides the set piece thing? And obviously, I mentioned to you on Twitter, like literally just before I was going to start, about you've seen a video of Porto practicing defending set pieces against Arsenal. And I said to you, you'd be happy if you saw that on a Saturday in the pre-match warm up. And I said, yeah, until Morris heads home from a doughty free kick or whatever. What's your thoughts on that?
I mean, Luton's record speaks for itself. I don't fear a lot about them. It is set pieces and lofted balls into the box for players to get the head on. I mean, Barkley's got a screamer in it. We've seen him do it this season. But they've got different players in different situations. I think Morris is, like you said earlier, is more of a handful than Premier League fans first thought. Again, he's not your typical 20-goal-a-season striker, but he is I put my money on it, he is an arse to play against. Because he's always on you. He's physical. He's great in the air. He's strong. He's a big lad. I really don't know what to expect from them, except good set piece delivery and good balls from deep areas into the box.
Yeah, because for me, I don't fear them as such. I fear myself more than anything.
Yeah,
we've been our masters of our own downfall this season. We can blame referees and we can blame FFP all we like, but at the end of the day, before even FFP is going to deduct us any points, PSR, whatever you want to call it, we are where we are because we've shot ourselves in the foot, essentially, really, haven't we?
Absolute spot on, mate. Yeah. Too many individual errors this year. I know it, you know it. There's 30,000 people that will turn out for the Fulham game that will know it. We have been the architects of our own downfall this year. I could go back and list you at least a dozen individual errors that we've scored from that have cost us points, whether it be goalkeeper, again, Montiel against, and was it Man United? No, Arsenal, I beg your pardon. Omar Bamadeli against Villa. Again, just it's not like they're plonking the ball in the back of their own net. It's just stupid things you wouldn't expect from professional footballers.
And we're getting punished.
It irritates me because in the Championship, you'll get away with 75% mistakes like that. Premier League, as we've shown, we'll get away with 10%. It's the quality of this league is so, so good that we can't afford to keep gifting people and teams the opportunity to go and beat us many times this season. And like you say, I am worried about that on Saturday because, again, they have got players that will punish us. You give the ball away to Barkley on the edge of the box, he's not going to be afraid to twat one from 25 yards. And again, we've seen him hit top corner this season. It's just difficult. I don't know where this game's going.
I mean, the one thing I took out of the Palace game is it was the chances, because they had so many. Mateta missed a hat trick full, I thought, and it kind of shown that obviously, as long as Luton are in the game, they've always got a chance because the Premier League quality came through, and Josh Townsend, terrific ball in, and Corley Woodrow just got a flick on it, and it's gone into the bottom corner past Sam Johnstone. So we can't, I think if we do get chances, this is where I think we've got to be clinical. We can't afford a Langa to have one-on-one and miss for him to get another, because you don't know whether you'll get that. It's such a tight pitch at Kenilworth Road. It's very renowned that it's a small pitch. So it's going to be difficult to make chances, but we've got to capitalise when we do get them. And I think we will get them because Luton, like I say, they give away a lot of shots on goal. And fair play to Kaminski because he's been a really good keeper for them this year. But I just got this feeling that maybe the atmosphere will kind of not play into their hands as you'd like it to if you're a home crowd, because I just think we're a bit unfashionable as a fixture, even though as a tie in terms of where we are in the league, it's very, very whets your appetite in that aspect for me. If I'm a neutral, I'm going, oh, that's a great game, isn't it, at the bottom?
Yeah.
Just whether Luton will get up for it. Rob Edwards would definitely get him up for it in some capacity. But I think if we can go there, quieten the crowd, frustrate them a little bit, make them maybe like where you hear a bit of like mumbling and groaning, and then you can kind of get into that and get on top of that. I think we've got a really, really good chance Saturday, and a good chance to hopefully turn a slight corner. I know we say this every time we win, like West Ham, we're like, oh, I've turned a corner. But West Ham were absolutely awful that day. And we were good, but we just then didn't capitalise in the next game, which is unfortunate, really.
Yeah. Like you said about us last season, when Bournemouth and Fulham rocked up, we took the lead against both of those sides. And I think it was an air of complacency rocked in. The fans sort of thought, oh, it's all right, we'll sort of push on from here. And we didn't. we conceded and the fans kind of went, right, okay, that's not great. And we went behind. It's like people are thinking that these are the games that we should be winning.
Yeah.
I don't want to use the word entitled, but I will do in this situation. Thought we were sort of entitled to win at home. And we're not. We're not in this league. We're not entitled to win any game in this division, home or away. And again, I think that's crept in a little bit this season as well. Bournemouth at home again. Once it got to sort of 2-2, the whole ground sort of went, yeah, all right. I know where this is going. We've been Forest fans long enough to know where this is going. But yeah, if we can rub that off on Luton, that'd be really, really good. But as it's their first season, I mean, their fans are generally really good at home, just like we were last year in most capacities. If we can get them on the back foot early on, possibly nick an early goal, I think we could then push on. I think we may get 2 or 3. But if it's sort of 0-0 at half-time, we come slow out the blocks in the second half, they pick up a bit of momentum, I do think we'll lose 1-0. It's one of those games.
Yeah. What's your score prediction then, Alex, before we shoot off?
I am going for a 2-1 win. And I don't care how it comes. It could come from Toffolo lashing in a 40-yard screamer, or it could come off Chris Wood's left nut. I don't care. We need to win this game. It's a massive 3 points, especially with what we may or may not find out on Friday. But like I say, I think get the financial fair play stuff out the way, get it done. Whatever sanction we're going to get, just hand it to us now, because we've still got time to sort of look at ourselves and rectify it. The longer it drags on, the more we look at ourselves and sort of go, we don't know what position we're going to be in. I do think that plays on the players' minds, because I'm sorry to plug another podcast, but I was listening to Forest Focus the other day and they were on about it. I think we've won, what is it, one game since we found out that we are going to be sanctioned for financial breaches.
Yeah.
I can't say for sure whether that plays on players' minds. I'm not a professional footballer, obviously. But I do think it's having a general mood effect on the group. But yeah, the sooner we get that out of the way, I think it will perk fans up. I think it will do the team good. I think it will do Nuno good, and sort of everybody associated with the club.
I understand that aspect of it, but I also don't get it, because the table still doesn't lie without it. We're still only 3 points above the relegation zone. So surely, like, players should be going, right, we need to concentrate for 100 minutes and stop and cut out the mistakes. And I get we're a young kind of team. We've not got loads and loads of experience, especially like Felipe's been out majority of the season. Bolly's been in and out, obviously AFCON and stuff like that. And Chris Wood's been in and out of the team. There are like only few players that are over 30. We've not got loads and loads of like experienced heads, as you will, in our team. So I kind of think like from that, they need to take some responsibility as well completely. Yes, we've been shafted by officials, but we've also had plenty of chances in games. We had chances in the game against Liverpool before that incident happened. We had chances in the Newcastle game before that incident happened, and every other game that where we've been a bit shafted, really. So yeah, I think it's time to kind of stand up and be counted in some aspects. People like Gibbs White, Yates, Sangare now, Awunyi, Hudson-Odoi, Elanga, they need, it's their time to shine, really, and kind of pull us out of the crapper. For me, but yeah, 2-1 you're going for, that'll be, I'll take that. I mean, I want to go 4-1 because I want to be positive. It's the hope that kills me. I can't predict a loss, especially to Luton. What did you say, sorry?
That's being a Forest fan, it's always the hope that kills you.
It's just being a football fan in general, but Alex, thank you very much for joining me. We'll catch you in the next one when we do our post-match on Sunday. But until then, come on, you Reds.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport, powered by fans.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on McDonald's app at participating restaurants. 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.